I'd like you to take the Word of God, please turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. As we stand to our feet, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read the full chapter and look at the last half of it. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I want to preach tonight on the right kind of church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege to open up your word. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have already stirred our heart tonight. These next few moments, as we look into the Bible, I pray that you'll use it to strengthen us, to help us, to fill us up, give us a greater understanding of what kind of church we all ought to be a part of. Lord, how we ought to take these things to our heart. Lord, may you use this night to bring glory and honor to thy name. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul's writing here to the church at Thessalonica. This was a great church. Paul loved it. As a matter of fact, it was one that was very, very dear to the heart of Paul. And Paul said that much as he was talking about how that they were his dear children and how they were dear. He said, "We being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Paul loved the church, Thessalonica. It had a great place in his heart. And when you begin to look at it and you begin to read it and you begin to see certain things, we realize that he did have to deal with certain issues with these Thessalonians. They weren't perfect. But this was one of those first churches. And this was the first letter that we find, the first Pauline epistle that he wrote. And as he writes, we see some purity in this. And this letter in the church to the church at Philippi are two of the most precious letters. And you see a lot of the biography of Paul in these letters. But he's writing to this church and he talks to them and he speaks of their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins to exhort them in other things. And I believe what we can see in these few verses, verses 6 through 10, are some things that will help us to see the kind of church this was. And we'll understand that this was the right kind of church. This is the kind of church that every New Testament church ought to be. First of all, I want you to notice that this was a church that was a saved church. A saved church. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So we understand that here is a church, a body of believers, if you will. This was a church that was saved. Now, you say, what's so important about that? If they're the church, they ought to be saved. We are living in a day when churches are not made up of saved people. As a matter of fact, we think that, you know, that's the way that it's always been, mostly saved people in churches. But if you'll go back to truly about the year 300 AD, and you'll see that the emperor made it the right thing to do to go and be a part of the church, and they started just they had started incorporating people into the church because it was the right thing to do. And they were trying to Christianize the world, if you will. But there was they were being Christianized with no conversion. Do you know you cannot be a Christian if you've not been converted? If you've not been saved? This is where the fallacy of infant baptism comes in. Because in many of the churches, they're baptized into the church as an infant. First of all, baptism is a choice. There's no coercion. They have no choice as a baby, just like a baby that's aborted has no choice. You know, these people talk about being pro-choice. This is off the subject. They talk about being pro-choice. I tell you, the ladies made the choice when they decided to do what they did to get that way. That was their choice. I understand there are things that happen that might do that. And then, you know, what about the choice of the child? There's no choice. Same thing with infant baptism. That's why we don't baptize infants. And we've been persecuted for years. Over 50 million Baptists have been martyred because of our stand against infant baptism. Think about that. Over 50 million. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Who's the greatest martyr? Well, go look at the Church of England. Go look at the Catholic Church and you'll see. So we understand that churches do not always have saved memberships. You can just come and join up and be a part of it all. And I've said around here, we always ask people about their salvation. They have to give a testimony. Paul is writing to this church, and he says, here's something about your church that I love. This is what makes you the right kind of church. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And he goes and he gives an example later on in the book, and he talks to them how that they were persecuted for believing, just like in Jerusalem, the Jews were persecuted by other Jewish people. Many of these Gentile believers were persecuted by other Gentiles for putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The right kind of church is a church that has a saved church membership. The right kind of church, number two, is a church that has a heart for missions. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Here's a church that not only had a saved church membership, here is a church that had a heart for missions. Because the Bible teaches us not only were they supporting missions, but they were sending out, they were sounding out the Word of God. I believe a New Testament church has to be a church that loves missions. Has to be a church that wants to carry out the will of God. We go and we see Paul and on his first missionary journey, and how he was ordained by the church to go out there in Acts chapter number 13. And now he is exhorting this church, and he is saying that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Saying you were examples to these other churches. You were an example to all these believers in Macedonia and Achaia, because out of you sounded forth the gospel of God. You were saved and you did something with your salvation. It's a sad thing to see that a lot of people, a lot of churches have no desire to get the gospel out. They want to get everybody in, but they don't want to get anything out. They want to have, you know, there are churches that have thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but they have no heart for missions. May the Lord help them to see that if they're going to be the right kind of church, they need to be a missionary church. They need to be a church that's given the gospel, that needs to be sounding out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, not only in Tampa and in Hillsborough County, but every place your faith to God would spread abroad. Everywhere you go, you ought to go. When you go on vacation, you ought to be in church, spreading your faith, telling others, showing people what your faith is and who you believe in. The right kind of church is a church that's saved. The right kind of church is a church that has a heart for missions. The right kind of church is a church that has strong faith. The Bible says here in verse number 8 again, every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Do you realize that no church can do anything apart from faith in God? Anything that's right. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, so we understand that In the Old Testament, the rendering is the just shall live by his faith. Paul repeats that three times in the New Testament. I believe that was Paul's life verse, the just shall live by faith. We go back and we see that our faith is so very important. The faith of us as individuals, but our faith as individuals comes corporately together. And what we do as a church is to be done by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, the church at Thessalonica was a church that had great faith. And those cities that were around them, the cities of Philippi, their church, this church at Thessalonica was a church that the Philippians had heard of their faith. We go and we can read how that while Paul was here, the Philippian church sent money to him time and again to continue the ministry. But here he was working in Thessalonica. Here he was working as a tent maker and laboring and doing all these things. And he was working at this. And these other churches were sending money to help get the gospel message and the gospel ministry going out. But the church at Philippi said, there's a church of great faith. We're going to send money over there and help the work to get done. It's a great thing. Our faith ought to be heard about. And our faith ought to be proven by the lives that we live and by the things that we do. And we need to understand that as a people, as a body of believers, that we cannot please God if we don't do what we do by faith. The right kind of church is a church that's saved. The right kind of church is a church that has a heart for missions. The right kind of church is a church that has strong faith. The right kind of church is a church that is repentant. The Bible says in verse number 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." We understand what the Bible says here. The Bible also says in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse number 22, verse number 20, Paul was there and he was standing and defending himself before Agrippa. And he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea," talking about the Jews, "and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." And so here Paul is saying, I'm seeing that you all have that repentant heart. You have had this change of mind, if you will, and your change of mind has affected your attitude and your way of living. This repentance has done something in your heart, in your life, and you are the right kind of church because this repentance has turned you to God. That's what it does. We have a change of mind about who we are and about our sin and our sinfulness. And we come to grips with the fact that we're sinners and that we cannot change ourselves. We understand that God has done a work in our life and we have to trust Him. That's what was going on. We see how that you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So not only was the right kind of church a church of repentance, but it was a church that was separated because they turned to God from idols. That's what separation is. You know, we Baptists are always talking about separation. We preach, we've got to be separated, got to be separated, got to be separated. And we preach so much on being separated from the world. Well, we should be separated from the world. But if that's what's first, then you'll never make it. True biblical separation is to be separated unto the Lord and away from the world. The song says it well. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful thing, in His wonderful face, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The more we look to God and the more we place our faith in God and the more we separate ourselves unto the Lord, the less appealing this world is to us. But when we're living for the world and all we're wanting to do is be rich and make money and have this and have that just live a frivolous lifestyle, you know, God's never going to be pleased with that. But you're not going to be able just to turn over a new leaf and leave that behind. Separation is you have to turn to God. You have to get closer to Him. And the closer you get to Him, the less these things will mean to you. That's what was going on in the church at Thessalonica. Now, they still dealt with fleshly issues. You can go and read and see how that Paul deals with them in just a couple of chapters about certain things because they were new believers. They were still fighting the flesh. But we find out that they turned to God from idols. That was a big hurdle to overcome. You have to realize these people had all kinds of heathen idols. They had all kinds of things that was placed before them. And buddy, they put a lot of faith in those idols and a lot of faith in those religious ways. And they had turned to God from idols, but they were still battling the flesh. A lot of times as Christians, we have idols. We make idols of things. We make idols of our family, of our children. We've not had to deal with this here, but I remember talking to families and saying, look, I love the fact that your children are involved in sports and athletic events. It's good. Work on a team. Get yourself disciplined. But boy, I'd get some people so angry when I'd say, but these weekend tournaments, when it keeps you away from the house of God, you are teaching your children that there are some things more important than the work of God. And I said, that's doing your children an injustice. And I had people angry at me over that. But this is what separation is. It's giving your life to doing what God wants you to do. And sometimes that pulls you away from what the world would have you to do. Do you understand? That's what this church was. It was the right kind of church. It had these things. Paul was writing, exhorting them for this. So here's a church. The right kind of church is a church that's saved. The right kind of church is a church that has a heart for missions. The right kind of church is a church that has strong faith. The right kind of church is a church that's repentant. The right kind of church is a church that is separated. And then finally, the right kind of church is a church that's looking for His return. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Tonight, I believe we're looking for the return of Christ. We're not just looking for it, we're longing for it. I'm ready for Jesus to come. I say all that's going on, and I'll be honest with you, there are fears that I have that I need to give to God. But I have really tried to just trust God with all that's happening in our world. I have two children that have yet to face the world the way that they're going to have to face the world. My fear is what they're going to have to face. You know, sometimes I feel like I can fight for myself. But I'm going to fight for my kids too. And just because I'm trusting God doesn't mean that I just don't stand up for what's right. I have to stand up. I have to do what's right. I have to look out for my children. Then one day some sorry boy is going to come along. And he's going to try to look out for my daughter. And I'll let him as long as he does it right. Right? Now you understand what I'm saying. So I'm praying the Lord will return before that happens. Amen. Yes, amen. No. I was teasing her today about that. And I said, do you realize that your mother and I were heavily courting when she was your age? And she said, yep. I said, but you're smarter than that, aren't you? And I think she said, yes. I said, but some boy's going to come along and, you know, crazy things happen. But I'll be there to protect you. I won't let him come around. Now, I look at things that's going on in the world, and to be honest with you, we see all that's happening, and there is some fears that about the future. Now, I'm anchored in the rock of ages. My children have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be okay because God promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is going to take care of us. The world may fall apart around us. We may not have as much as we have, but I have a promise and an assurance that as long as I'm living the way that God wants me to live, He will take care of me. But I'm still looking for His return. I'm waiting for the Son. And if He were to come right now, I'd be thrilled with the fact that I get to go to heaven. I wouldn't be thrilled about the judgment seat. But the right kind of church is a church that lives looking for His return. Now, I said all that to say this. If we're really looking for His return, it will affect the way that we live. If we really believe Jesus is coming soon, if we really believe it with all of our hearts, we say it with our lips, but if we really believe it with all of our hearts that Jesus is coming, there'll probably be some people that we know we must talk to. There'll probably be some activities that we know we must involve ourselves in. There'll probably be some things that we must do because we know that this is what God would have us to do. And that's what looking for His return is. That's what made the church at Thessalonica such a right kind of church. They were looking for His return, and they really thought He was going to come back then. They were looking for Him to come. Just as soon as He went away, they were ready for Him to come back. And here it's been 2,000 years. But the right kind of church is still looking for Him to come back. And it affected the way that they lived. And that's what Paul was exhorting them for. To do right, to be right, to live right, because He is coming again. They were waiting for His Son that delivered them from the wrath to come. They were so excited. They were dealing with persecution. They were being persecuted. Other Gentiles, no doubt, were persecuting them. And probably some Jews there in the city too were persecuting them because they had put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were understanding this persecution, but they realized this persecution was nothing compared to the wrath that eternity was going to bring. And they were waiting for the One that saved them from that wrath. They went to their grave looking for Jesus to come. If Jesus were to come today, if He were to come this week, what would you do different? Who would you speak to? I imagine all of us would have somebody that we know that we ought to speak to. Something that we would ask the Lord to forgive us and get right with God over. But this isn't a fear tactic. I'm not trying to tell you He's coming again, you need to get right because He's coming right now. I'm saying that you have to be convinced of that. I'm not one of the preachers that's going to get up here and I can't do that. The Holy Spirit has to convict you and convince you of your sin. But I will tell you this, Jesus could come this week. He could come this week. Would you want to meet Him with what you're doing? Would we as a church want to meet Him? Are we doing what we as individuals need to be doing for this to be the right kind of church? May God help us. And may we do our part. Saved and separated and repentant when we're going the wrong way, we understand we need to change this. Have a heart for missions. Faith is strong. Living by faith. The right kind of church. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example that we have here of this church, Thessalonica. Lord, I pray that our hearts have been stirred just to see this great example as Paul exhorts these people for what they were doing that was right. Lord, we have a great group of people here. A church that's been so blessed. And we thank You for this church, for each person. But help each of us just to understand our personal accountability to Thee. And Lord, help us to be doing what we ought to be doing until You come again. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. What hymn number?
155.
Hymn number 155.